Greetings in Jesus' name. Greetings from Myerstown to the Waterworks congregation here. You can turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I would like to share the winter Bible school topic that I had this winter. So the light of the body is the eye. This is found in Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 in verses 22 and 23. And I will bring the verses up here, but you can look at it in your Bible also as well. It says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee is be darkness, how great is that darkness?" So here we have a straightforward illustration from our human eye. The light of the body is the eye. And then it's followed by a good eye, bad eye idiom. That's in verses 22 and 23 there in the second part of the verse in 22. But I believe the main thing that is in this is the title, "The Light of the Body is the Eye." I believe that's key. And the rest of the verses here explain that, expands on it, explains it. But the main point is the light of the body is the eye. We need to have the right kind of eye. That's the goal. If we have an evil eye, we'll be full of darkness. A good eye is full of light. All through the Bible, we see that light is good and darkness is not. Darkness is evil. So the difference of being full of light or full of darkness has to do with our eyes. It's our focus. This is a illustration that has to do with our vision. It's our outlook, our perspective. It's our ability to see, to have the right focus. So the goal is have a good eye that's properly focused on spiritual things versus the bad eye that is not properly focused, out of focus on earthly things. So the title, "The Light of the Body is the Eye," we have three nouns. They have the light, we have the body, and we have the eye. So light is that which illuminates. This word is translated mostly light. It's translated candle. So it's something that gives us the light to see. And the body is our whole body. What you see of me here is what it's talking about. Our whole body. And the eye is a literal eye that we the physical eye is what that word means. It has as a figurative meaning of vision. But so there's the title, the light of the body is the eye. And then we have this idiom that follows. And this idiom is the good eye, bad eye idiom. An idiom is a figure of speech that is maybe not literal, but it stands for something. It stands for something. So a good eye, bad eye illustration, the Jews would have connected with it. It was something that was an ancient idiom that we see in the Old Testament and we see it in the New Testament. So it would have made perfect sense to the reader, just like we have idioms today. We say, well, that costs an arm and a leg. Has nothing to do with an arm and a leg, but we know what it means. So this idiom has deeper meaning behind it that we're going to dig into as we see it stands for something. There's something more behind it. You know, there's the good eye, there's a lot of ways to be good, and an evil eye, there's a lot of ways to be evil. It's a generic term, but when we look at how it's used in the Bible, we'll see it brings clarity what it really means, what the meaning behind the good eye and the bad eye. Now, in these verses, the title, "The Light of the Body is the Eye," and the idiom, how does it fit in the context of Matthew chapter 6? Now, we didn't read it here in the verses right before talk about the treasures in heaven, not to lay up treasures in heaven. And the verses right afterward talks about you can't serve two masters. Either you will serve the one and hate the other, you love the one. So you're serving either God or money. So how does these verses fit in the context? And as you know, first glance here, you would think it's maybe he's switching subjects, and doesn't quite fit here. That's talking about something else, has nothing to do with money and treasures and serving God or money. But as we explore the meaning behind this good eye and bad eye, we're going to see how it comes into context of the possessions and money and treasures on earth versus treasures in heaven. How we're going to see how it fits perfectly. So first of all, we're going to look at the straightforward illustration. The light of the body is the eye. Secondly, we're going to take a deep dive into the good eye, bad eye. We're going to look at other places in the Bible where it's the good eye and the bad eye is mentioned and capture the meaning of behind the idiom. And then we want to lastly bring it into context of the illustration here into context of the treasures, how it fits into this context in Matthew chapter 6. So the light of the body is the eye. So it's an actual statement with a straightforward meaning. The light of the body is the eye. One time there was a woman that went to the doctor and said, you know, doctor, I'm losing my hairline. It's just going back, and a lot of wrinkles are just getting deeper, and I got these lines in my fingernails, and somebody told me that that's a sign of heart problems. Doctor, could you just tell me what's wrong with me? And after the doctor gave his examination, he says, well, one thing we know is that your vision is good. So this is something about vision. It's not physical, but it's spiritual vision. Jesus took something as common as our human eye and to teach a spiritual lesson from the physical to the spiritual. Now, the eye is an amazing organ. Just the ability to see is amazing. I was measuring for a new house of carpet in Reading here recently and discovered that she was blind. And he was there, and he took the time to try to explain to his blind wife where the transition, where the tile's going to stop and where the carpet will start, and where how we'll set the sofa here and we'll be facing the fireplace. And he was trying to explain to her what I could see. And it brought the how often we take for granted our physical eyesight. You know, I can't imagine going through life without seeing the beauty of the spring colors, the flowers, your faces, and just on and on. Our eyesight is an amazing thing, and how God, we could spend a lot of time there. But this is an illustration that's using the physical to teach a spiritual lesson. So now the first thing we want to look at, the things what we see affects our whole body. You know, when we're looking at the light of the body is the eye. If our eyes are good, our whole body is going to be illuminated with light. You know, when we walk in a lighted room, we can see. If it's pitch dark, we can't see. We'll stumble over things. And so if the eyes go bad, you know, it goes bad for our whole body. So what we see affects our whole body. It'll bring darkness. This whole body is used in Matthew chapter 5, one chapter before, where Jesus says, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is more profitable that one of thy members should perish than thy whole body be cast into hell. It's the same meaning, our whole body being a... So that's what we see affects our whole body. So another thing we see is that the eyes are an entrance to the body. Our eyes can be used to see good or evil. For good, it can be beneficial. It's like light radiating from within. And for evil, it can be harmful. It can be blinding. Actually, darkness brings darkness from within. So it's very important what our eyes see. You know, in today's world, we have a lot of evils out there. We have books, we have magazines, we have movies, we have internet sites, and the list can go on. And if we allow our eyes to linger on these kinds of evils, it's going to have an effect. The eye is an entrance to the body. You know, it's going to affect us with darkness and the inability to see spiritually. So this kind of an eye is going to dim the light. It can even bring blindness, spiritual blindness. So we need to be careful what we set our eyes on, where we allow our eyes to go. You know, we sing the song, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see." And also we have a song that says, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look upon his wonderful face." So it all starts with our eyes. It starts with our vision. It starts with our focus. So that the opposite is a good eye. So we were talking about the evil eye. The opposite is a good eye. Has a proper focus on heavenly things. Feeds on the word. Feeds on wholesome literature. Wholesome things instead of the evils. And you see, it brings light. So it's light versus darkness. The light of the body is the eye. It's a straightforward illustration that the evil eye brings darkness and the good eye brings light. Now, what is light? Light is the ability to see. That the light brings perception, spiritual perception. Having light means you can see. Darkness means you can't see, spiritually blind. So in Matthew 13, we have Jesus' words. It says, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive." So light coming into our eyes begins with perception. When you can see things, then it results in life, spiritual life from God. So it's perception, it's spiritual life, and it's the ability to see. What is light? It's more than that. Light is Jesus himself. Jesus says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He has come as a light into the world. And if we believe him, if we follow him, we can be a light. It starts with him. We are his reflectors. Ye are the light of the world. It's because of his, he is the light. So Jesus is light himself. So light is life, and light results in life, spiritual life from God. You know, we think of spiritual life as love and joy and peace in our hearts. So what is light? It's spiritual perception, and it's life in Christ, and it's Jesus himself. And it also tells us in the Bible that we are to walk. This light was going to affect our walk. When you were sometimes darkness, but now are you the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. So if we focus on Christ, it's going to affect, this light is going to affect us. It's going to affect our whole body, and it's going to affect our whole life. So what does it mean to be filled with light? It's spiritual life from God, spiritual perception, a great measure of spiritual perception. We can see things as they really are. So the opposite, what is darkness? Well, darkness is the inability to see. You know, the lack of spiritual life, the lack of love and joy and peace in our hearts. And darkness is actually sin. And we know that Satan is the epitome of darkness. He is the deceiver. He is trying to deceive us in that. So we have the good eye is a filled with light. Light, it's a good outcome, and it's light. And filled with darkness is a bad outcome, and it all depends on our eye. It all depends on our eye. And then we have that phrase there that says, "How great is that darkness? If that light being in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?" You know, if we allow darkness to come into our lives, the question, or it's not a question, it's an exclamation mark. It says, "How great is that darkness?" And that's something to ponder and consider. So the light of the body is the eye. It stands alone here as the illustration. And then we want to look at the idiom. So this idiom goes on to explain, this good eye, bad eye idiom goes on to explain, it expands on this and explains what this, what the light of the body is the eye. Now, if in King James it says, if therefore thine eye be single, and the King James uses the word single, but it actually, the literal word there, the literal Greek word would be good. You know, if thy eye be good, thy whole body shall be full of light. And then the bad, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And as we said, this idiom was something that was in the, we're going to see it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So it's something that they would have been familiar with. It would have made sense to them. And we're going to look at we're going to take a deep dive into this and just look at other places that it's used in the Bible to try to capture the meaning. Now, we first of all, I want to mention that in Matthew 6 and verse 22, you know, the King James uses the word single, and there's quite a few different translations, versions that use different words. And as my dad often said to me, he uses the different versions to glean insights. And in this verse particular, we can glean insights by seeing what other versions use to translate this word good eye. So let's look at a few. So first of all, this comes from two Greek words. The Greek word ophthalmos is literally means the eye. It's where we get ophthalmologists. You go to the ophthalmologist. So it literally means the eye. And the Greek word haphlos means good, it means good, literally means good. And it's translated single in King James and sincere in different ways. So it's not a translation study, but we're going to try to capture the meaning here of the word. Now, King James uses the literal meaning is good. Now, King James uses the word single. And I believe it's a good translation. We know what single means. It means one. It means it's, you know, if it's single, it's not multiple. And multiple is more than one. So single means being motivated by a singleness of purpose. I was going to say also that being with the different translations of how versions use different translations, I believe it can mean more than one thing. But we're going to see patterns as we look at all the places in the Bible where this is used and when we bring it into context in Matthew chapter 6. But so King James uses the word single, and it's one purpose to glorify God in everything we do and say. You know, if we see double, it doesn't work. We can't see double. It means our eye is out of focus. I don't know if some of you remember, you know, Laverne Lead, when he had his accident, he fell off the ladder and had a head injury. And after he went to the hospital and they didn't know what was going on, and he came home, and the next day he was out driving on the road seeing double, and he was hitting signs as he was going. So we can't see double. It doesn't work. Double vision doesn't work. We can't make progress seeing double vision, looking in two different directions. Peter, when he was walking on the water, he took his focus off of Jesus, and what happened? He went down. And it's if thine eye be single, if our vision, our focus, our outlook is single to glorify God and serve God, the result is light. Light. We will be full of light. So single is one meaning of this word good eye. So we also see it translated sincere. And I think this is a good, very representation of the word here, especially in Matthew chapter 6. It fits the context of Matthew chapter 6, to be real, to be genuine. Don't be as the hypocrites who want to be seen of men. So the good eye is a single eye that's sincere. It's motivated by singleness of purpose. It's sincere. And then we see other versions using healthy and clear. There's different. So it different meanings we see here, the different words bring out different slants of how what it means. So it's single, it's sincere, it's clear, it's healthy, it's a good eye. Now, let's go into the Old Testament, and we're going to look at, this is in the Old Testament, and we're going to see an example here of this good eye. And we're going to see here it also means generous. It says, he that hath a bountiful eye, and if you look at the Hebrew there, that's a good eye. That's what it's translated, bountiful. So he that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. So the literal Hebrew means good. That's the word, but it's mostly translated good. But the New American Standard uses a generous eye. So here we see that this good eye is one who is generous. He's generous. It's linked to being generous. And we're going to see in a little bit how the evil eye is linked to being stingy. So generosity is a matter of the eyes. It's how we look at things. You can give a lot of money without being generous. You know, the hypocrites blew their trumpets before they dropped their money. You know, they tithed perfectly all their pantry items, and they were very, had everything down to the nitty-gritties, but they were very insincere. So, you know, the Bible says how God loves the cheerful giver. So sincerity brings the right motives to generosity. Sincerity brings the right motives to generosity. So this kind of eye, also here we see, brings the ability to see, to have perception. It sees, this eye sees one that is in need, one that is in need of bread. So the good eye speaks of generosity. He has ability to see needs, and that's a Bible verse here in the Old Testament that shows us what the good eye is. Then we have here, so also in James in the New Testament, now this is a translation of the word good. It says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So this is not the good eye, but it's the word good, and it's translated liberally. So we're getting the gist of the good eye. So if we go back here, see, let's just recap here. The good eye means single. It means sincere. It means being generous. It means being healthy and clear and liberal. So that's examples of the good eye as we see here in the Bible. So now let's go to the evil eye. The evil eye is this is also made up of two words here, and it's the Greek word ophthalmos, which is literally means the eye, and then we have poneros, or it means bad. It's mostly translated bad or evil or wicked. So, but if we and in Matthew chapter 6, it's usually translated with one of those three words: evil, bad, or wicked. But if we look at other places in the New Testament and in the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New, we'll see a little different meaning of this evil eye. We're going to get a glimpse of what this evil eye meant. And so first of all, we're going to go back to the Old Testament. And here is in the law. This is a law that is talking about them loaning money. And the sabbatical year was coming up when all debts were going to be canceled. So here we have, it says, beware that there not be a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. So here we have a wealthy brother that has... and a poor brother that came and wants to borrow some money. And the sabbatical year is coming up, and something we don't know anything about, what that would be like, but the seventh year, all the debts were released. They were canceled. And so the law is warning the wealthy brother here. It says, you know, the year of release is at hand, and I don't let thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught. And he cried to the Lord and be sin unto thee. So he's saying, the law is saying, don't be stingy. You know, don't be tight fisted. Don't have an evil eye, is what the King James uses. So the poor brother, you know, comes along and he needs $2,000. And the wealthy brother says, is he going to be able to pay me back till the year release? That's the evil thought. There'd not be a thought in thy wicked heart saying, you know, is he going to be able to pay me back? It's less than 1 year till the year release. Am I going to get my money back? Will he be able to repay me? God says, don't withhold. Give to your brother in need. Sabbatical year's coming, yes, but it's God's money. It's okay to bless him. You know, if you don't give him anything because of the year of release is at hand, that's an evil eye. That's what God is calling an evil eye. That's an evil eye. Beware, lest thy thought in thy wicked heart. So here's some other translations. King James says evil eye. ESV says your eye look grudgingly. The New American Standard says your eye look malicious. And the NIV says, you know, show ill will. So here we see a sampling of what this evil eye is, this evil eye. Other translations help us to understand what this means, the meaning behind this evil eye. You see, the opposite we looked at was generous eye. Here's a stingy, selfish. You know, this evil eye has to do with helping a brother in need. It has to do with money. Stingy. I'm not gonna give as I might not get my money back. That's the evil eye here. Now let's go to another place in Proverbs, and here's another evil eye in Proverbs 28. It says, he that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. So here we have the evil eye is mentioned here as a someone that is hastened to be rich. The get rich quick, will be rich is an evil eye. That attitude is, the Bible says, it's an evil eye. You know, in 1 Timothy, it says about they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So here we have this evil eye is connected to chasing wealth, hoarding wealth. And so it's definitely, we see this evil eye is definitely a materialistic eye. We're going to be talking soon about the treasures on earth. So we're seeing the connection with this evil eye with treasures and money. The opposite is the generous eye, the bountiful eye, giving, being willing to seeing needs and being willing to give, looking for ways to give. And the opposite is the evil eye is looking for ways to rake it in. So the generous eye is the solution. So we see the good eye is linked to generosity, giving to the poor, living with open hands. The evil eye is pursuing pursuing and hoarding wealth, looking at treasures on earth. And this eye is stingy, selfish, living with closed hands, and blind to the needs of others. Now there's two more verses we want to look at, and and I had this up before, but this evil eye, in the New Testament, these two words for evil eye, I think it's only in the New Testament four times, and they are in Matthew chapter 6 that we're looking here, and then there's a corresponding Luke 11 that has the exact same verses in a little different context. And then we have two other places where this evil eye, this evil and I are together. And we want to look at that to capture the meaning. We're trying to capture the meaning of this, especially as we connect it to money and the context of treasures and mammon. First one is in Mark chapter 7. And this is where we have Jesus is talking about man's sin. Comes from within the heart. And it says in Mark chapter 7 says, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So King James uses the word evil eye. That's exactly how it would come from the Greek. Now, when we look at some of the other translations, almost all of them say envy. ESV says envy. New American Standard says envy. NIV says envy. Amplified says envy and jealousy. So here we capture, that would have been a known, you know, this good eye, bad eye idiom was something they were familiar with, something they knew what it meant. And the other translations help us to get glean insights as to what this evil eye is. Also, the other place that we find these two words together is in the parable of the laborers, where in Matthew chapter 20, and it says at the end there, it says, "Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good?" There we have this evil eye. And if we look at the parable of the laborers, we know the story, how a man had a vineyard and he was hiring workers, and he went out early in the morning and he agreed that he would pay him a penny a day. And then he went out again at 9 o'clock and he says, "I'll pay you what's fair." And then at 12 o'clock he did the same, and then at the 11th hour, at quitting time, almost 1 hour to quitting time, he goes out and he finds some idol, and they said, "Nobody hired us." And he says, "Go and work and I'll pay you what's right." And pay time came, and the starting at the last to the first, and he gave the ones that only worked 1 hour a penny. And when the others saw what was happening, they thought, "Oh, what are we going to get? You know, we worked all day in the sweat of the sun," and they figured they're going to get a lot more. And we came down to it, they all got the same. They all got a penny. And they started to murmur and complain. And I guess if we'd put ourselves in that place, you know, would I murmur and complain? Possibly. But, you know, the owner says, "Why did they no wrong? Didn't we agree for a penny? Take it and be satisfied." And then we have this: "Is it not lawful for me to do with what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil?" Here we have this evil eye. We're trying to capture the meaning. What does the evil eye mean here? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Take it and be satisfied. So here King James uses evil eye. A lot of American Standard says, "Is thine eye evil because I am good?" The NIV says, "Is your eye envious because I'm generous?" And the ESV says, "Do you begrudge my generosity?" And the New Living Translation said, "Should you be jealous because I am generous?" You see, here they're envious. You're envious of my generosity. Of my generosity. You know, they were looking around and comparing and complaining, and that's the evil eye. That's the evil eye. So this evil eye means envy and jealousy, where the good eye is generous. Look, the householder was generous, but the evil eye is connected to envy and jealousy. You know, instead of rejoicing with those that rejoice, they couldn't do that. And I'm not sure I could have either, if you really think about it, how you would have responded in that situation. But you know, the Bible says to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. And isn't it easier sometimes to weep with those that weep? Somebody that's going through a difficult time, it's easy to come alongside and weep with those that weep, but rejoice with those that rejoice. Or why is it harder to rejoice if there's something in our hearts that can't rejoice with those that rejoice? What is it? It's an evil eye. It's a jealousy. It's an envy. So this evil eye, it's that side glance of jealousy, envy. They don't deserve that. I wish I had that. That's not fair. And the list goes on. So let's recap here. So we looked at the good eye, and the evil eye. So the good eye is single. We use the Bible as our commentary. We're using the Bible to help us understand what this good eye and evil eye is. The good eye is single. It has one focus. It's sincere. It's genuine. It's real. It's generous. It's living with open hands. It sees needs. It helps that brother in need. And it's liberal. It's giving bread to the poor. And those are traits of this good eye. And the result is full of light. Full of light. And the opposite is the evil eye. On the other side, we see it has that side glance of envy and jealousy. It's complaining. Complaining is a sure sign of an evil eye. It's always complaining, never happy. This eye is stingy. It's selfish. It's opposite of generous. You know, it has the idea, you know, he might not be able to pay me back. Might not be able to pay me back. He's unconcerned about a brother in need. He's blind to the needs of others. A brother in need, he can't see it. And lastly, he has a desire to get rich quick. That is to get rich quick. And the result is full of darkness. This eye brings darkness. So the good eye brings light. The light of the body is the eye. Our eye is what brings light or darkness. Now, let's go back and read it in context. I don't have verses up. I want to see it in your Bibles. Let's read Matthew chapter 6 in verses 19 to 24. It says here, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single or good, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we saw the verses that were sandwiched right in the middle here. The light of the body is the eye. Right before, he's talking about lay not up treasures on earth, rather lay up treasures in heaven. And then right after, he's talking about the serving God or mammon, which is money. So we have one theme here, and it's money. That's the context. So we can see how this statement, the light of the body is the eye, and this idiom, the good eye and the bad eye, the good eye brings light, the bad eye brings darkness. These verses in context is teaching us something about money and our relationship to it, that we need to have a proper focus. It teaches that we need a proper focus towards riches and wealth. The command here is, there's one command, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where three thieves can break through and steal. So the evil eye, and I'll just bring this last slide up here, the good eye and the bad eye. We should have the one side should be total dark and the other side total light to get the... But, you know, the good eye here, the evil eye first, is the command is, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. And the evil eye is, remember, it was pursuing and hoarding wealth and hastening to be rich. That's an evil eye. It's stingy. It's looking out for itself. It's selfish. This eye is laying up treasures on earth. It can't see the needs of others. It's blind to them, and it's full of darkness. You can see the full of darkness. So, and I believe the more treasure on earth that we have, the more it can distort our spiritual vision. And that's for me, the more we have, here on earth, the more it can distort our spiritual vision. The opposite is the good eye. It's single in purpose, it's sincere, generous, it sees needs, it helps a brother in need, it sees the poor, and this eye is laying up treasures in heaven. And the more treasures in heaven, the more spiritual vision. You know, this full of light is more greater measure of spiritual perception and spiritual life here now. You know, it's using God's money in God's kingdom, using his money in his kingdom. You know, we don't lack places to give today. We have schools, we have mission organizations, we have Christian Aid and other places, lots of places that we can be giving, a lot of opportunities to give. But you know, when we look at, if you look at the word treasure in the Strong's Concordance, the first word that's mentioned is a deposit, the deposit of wealth, this treasure. So we're either making deposits on earth or laying up for ourselves, or we're making deposits in heaven, laying up in heaven. The verse there we looked at in Proverbs, he that hath a bountiful eye, a good eye, shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor, a deposit in heaven. So I believe when we're able to give cheerfully, generously, we show that we're not mastered by money. You know, the money is that money is a servant and not a master. So we see the light of the body is the eye. So this statement supports the command here, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. What he's saying here is if we have a good eye, if we have a right focus towards money, towards and serving God, we have a single purpose, we're sincere, we're generous, and we're full of light, and we're laying up treasures in heaven. And the opposite is the bad eye has an earthly focus towards money, serving mammon, pursuing wealth, pursuing riches, is stingy when it's that helping that time of need. Instead of being generous, there's stinginess, selfishness, and always complaining, always jealous. And the result is darkness. And that's laying up treasures on earth. And it all starts with the eye. A good eye can sharpen our perspective on spiritual things, on material things, on laying not up for yourselves treasures on earth. And it helps keep our focus on the heavenly treasures, serving God over money. And the bad eye can dull our perspective. It sees the layup for yourselves, and the focus is drawn to earthly things, serving money over God. So the command here is, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, rather in heaven. And then he follows up with, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's not in reverse. It's not the saying where your heart is, there will your treasure be, but it's where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Something for us to consider as we look at this. So the command, so we need to strive today, I believe more than any time, there's many distractions that are calling for our attention, and it's more important than ever that we have a right focus, that we have that good eye that is focused, that is has the right focus. The light of the body is the eye. What kind of eye do you have? What kind of eye do I have? As we look and evaluate our life, what kind of eye do I have? And the songwriter says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look upon his wonderful face, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the glory, in the light of his glory and grace. Let us turn our eyes upon Jesus. Let's stand together for a closing prayer. Jim, would you have a closing prayer? And after that, we'll consider ourselves dismissed.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for the